Last year was kind of a weird thing, weird year. One of our suppliers had made a blend of three kinds of hops, Cluster, Fuggle, and Nugget. So I made a beer called Cluster Fugget, just as a tribute to 2020.
This is Easy Does It Barbecue with your host, Dan McDonald, owner of Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. If you're ready to dig into some serious talk about all things barbecue, from the moo to the oink, grab a cold one and let's get down to business. Now, here's Dan McDonald.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan McDonald with Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. You're listening to the Easy Does It Barbecue Show, where we talk about the easiest ways to do barbecue. Lately, we've been taking a little spin on the shows and have had some guests in, and today is no different. Today, we've got Tim Christensen in, who is the owner-operator of Fermentations, along with his lovely wife, Brenda. Let me tell you how I met them, and then we'll get Tim to chime in here. And back in January of 2012, my business partner at the time and I were looking for a location for Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. And there was a little shopette located up at York and Academy on North Academy, and there was actually a bird supply store that was there that they were trying to sublease. And Darren and I, trying to do our due diligence, stopped into Fermentations because they were in the shopping center and wanted to pick their brain about how they liked it. Brenda was up front and greeted us. I think Tim was in the back doing some work, and Brenda was so nice to us and welcoming, and gave us a tour of their store and talked about how you guys had been there for a year prior to us, and it was working out great. It was a great small shopette for a small business start out, and at my business partner and I at the time decided to open our store just two doors down from them. And that was, for us, that was 9 years ago, and we're still going. Both of us have since moved out of that location, and so we're going to talk about where his business is at and a little bit about what he does and why we have him on the show. So, Tim, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So, again, Tim is owner-operator of Fermentations. They're located at 5765 North Academy Boulevard. So they're actually just a stone throw away from Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. Their number is 719-598-1164, and their website is www.fermentations.biz. So check them out, guys. They'll answer all your questions about winemaking and or home brewing, which is primarily what they do. So again, Tim, thanks for coming on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I started home brewing about 30 years ago with my neighbor. We had moved from Arizona, from Phoenix, up to Colorado Springs so I could be involved with the construction of the federal prison complex down in Florence, Colorado. It was a job transfer, and my neighbor wanted to learn how to homebrew together, so we started doing that, and we just had a ball with that. I got bored with it after 50 or 60 batches of beer, though, and I stopped for a while until 2004, about 17 years ago, when my wife and I learned how to make wine together with a group of friends. And we just really enjoyed the hobby, doing it together. The beer brewing was something I kind of did by myself, but winemaking we did as a social activity with a bunch of friends. And it grew and grew until right before 2011, I asked my wife if she'd be willing to indulge me and we could start our own business as a homebrew shop. We started in the original place that Dan mentioned. It's a 1,400 square foot shop. And we were looking for 1,200 and thought, what are we going to do with all this space? We outgrew it after 3 years of being there and moved to where we are now. Got 50% more space and then doubled our size the following April of 2012. And my work had changed, the management changed, and I ended up retiring from my day job. And now my wife and I share this business, and we work it there every day together. I'm more the technical side. My wife is more of the sales and business bookkeeping side of things, and she's great with people. So it fits, and we just really enjoy the business together. We've taught about 3,600 winemaking processes over 10 years and about 550 or so beer making processes over 10 years. So about 6-to-1 wine over beer, but a lot of people like to brew beer at their own home where they can have the propane burners and the equipment out in their garage, and it's a social activity for them. The winemakers like to do it in our store because we lift things for them. They don't. We have an 89-year-old beautiful lady that likes to make wine there. She can't pick up 65-pound glass jars full of wine. So I take care of that process, and she comes and makes wine and just really enjoys it. And we've made so many friends, including Dan and Darren, in the process. So it's an honor to be here, and I'd love to be able to answer any more questions you have.
Tim, tell us, if somebody is a total novice, I mean, obviously we know what wine and beer is, but I walk into your store, what does your store offer someone walking in off the street exactly?
Well, it is funny that sometimes people come in our door and they think that we're a liquor store, which we're not. We're legally and technically a grocery store because we sell grape juice and yeast and grains and sugar and all of the cleansers and sanitizers you need to do your hobby at home, home winemaking and beer brewing. The law has been in effect since August of 1978 that says each adult over the age of legal drinking in Colorado, it's 21, can make up to 100 gallons of wine every year tax-free up to two adults per household. So 200 gallons of wine per household is about 1,000 bottles, and 200 gallons of beer is about 2,000 bottles of beer. But you can do it for your own personal enjoyment. What they did was remove the excise taxes on alcohol for personal consumption that had been in place since the days of Prohibition. They removed that, and then they defined how you can make your own wine and your own beer for your own enjoyment. You can't sell it. It's untaxed. I cannot offer samples because technically my company doesn't make alcohol. We just sell the ingredients. We make it ourselves. We enjoy doing that and sharing it with family and friends, but we don't sell it. We cannot do that legally, so we don't.
It's very similar to my business. You can't buy barbecue already made in my store,
right,
but you can get the supplies to go home and right, make it yourself. Or in your case, you have all of the facilities and everything to make. I've been in your store, and you have all kinds of fascinating equipment, things that shoot water up into huge bottles and desanitize them and all kinds of fascinating stuff. So can people... would you call these classes that you teach people how to do wine, or is it a process? Or?
When we started out our business, we started calling them classes, but technically it's not really classes because that implies a group of people.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a lot of one-on-one. So I just call them lessons, and I consider myself an educator. Okay. I'm there to teach people and answer questions, help them make sure the process goes well, and hopefully they like the hobby enough to continue doing it at home, or if they want to come back to our store, we have a lot of return customers that
do
that. When they walk in the door, a lot of people have never seen a place like our shop before. They are used to maybe seeing a retail store that sells the equipment and the supplies, but they don't help them learn how to do it. And that's our specialty, is helping people enjoy the hobby, making sure it goes well. At the end of the 6 to 8 week process for making wine, they take home 29 or 30 bottles of wine that they made themselves and designed their own label. With beer brewing, it's about 3 weeks from start to bottling. They take home about 50 bottles of beer, and then it carbonates and conditions naturally in the bottle at room temperature. And then when it's carbonated and conditioned and matured, it's ready to put in the refrigerator and enjoy. And I could be a winery or I could be a brewery if I wanted to. We've known a lot of people that have gone into the business of brewery, but I don't want to compete with the liquor stores.
Yeah.
The wine that we make, you can do at home yourself. For ingredients would be $3 to $7 a bottle for the ingredients. All in, making it in our shop is about $7 to $10 a bottle for everything from start to finish. And there's our other shops that do make wine from the kits, and they sell it as finished wine. But they're charging $25 or more dollars a bottle for the same kind of wine you can make in our place for $7 or at home for $3 or $4 a bottle.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to compete with the liquor stores. I offer a unique experience of learning to make your own, and people just love it.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. A lot of Tim and Brenda's customers come over to my store. They're very nice to recommend people to send them over to Colorado Barbecue Outfitters. And so I get a chance to talk to them, and they always share how wonderful the experience is to come into your store. And if I wanted to come in and make my own wine, can I copy something I like that's out there, or do I have to create new flavors that nobody's ever heard of?
Well, the kits that we sell are from three different manufacturers. All of them are up in Canada. And by carrying those three manufacturers, we have a wide variety of wine kits to pick from, somewhere between 130 and 150 different kinds of wine.
Wow.
And so if you have a style of wine you enjoy that's made by a commercial winemaker, we probably have a kit that is the same style.
Yeah, get pretty close to
it. It's about style wine. We have individual varietals. We have blends. We have mostly dry wines, but we have some that are off dry. Like a Riesling, for example, would be 1 to 2 out of 10. A dry wine is a 0 out of 10. And a sweet wine like a Moscato would be 7 out of 10. It's quite sweet, almost a dessert wine. But yeah, we have the best variety of any store I know in the region here. There are other shops that carry wine kits too, but that's really our specialty. And I like making them from kits because they make the wine in juice from grapes that are grown all over the world in the very best grape growing regions of the world, and they do half the work for us. It's ready to start fermenting when you mix it together and add the yeast.
Okay. Just makes it a little easier then.
Very much so, and that's why it's only 6 to 8 weeks instead of 6 months until you can barrel age a barrel of wine.
Yeah.
And so if you were to grow your own grapes, it would take 70 pounds of grapes to make 6 gallons of wine.
Wow.
These kits are they've crushed the grapes, they've destemmed them, they've macerated the skins into the juice to get the color extracted into the juice, and it's ready to ferment. And they've done the hard work for us, so we get to have the fun.
Let's get into, initially, why we're here. I invited Tim on because, I've always felt there's definitely a correlation. I don't think anyone would argue between beer and barbecue. That's very popular. But there's also a correlation between wine and barbecue. You're really just talking about comparable tastes. You're talking about just making the eating or the food and experience even more enjoyable. So I asked him to come on and see if he could share his knowledge of what some types of beers, I don't think we'll get into specific name brands, I assume, but what types of beers will work with maybe types of barbecue or grilling or what have you.
Great question. And much like with wine, what you're looking for is balance. You want to have a beer that complements the flavor of the food and a food that doesn't overpower the beer. Just like with wine, you want to have a wine that complements the flavor of the food. With beers, though, the article that I shared with you does talk about contrast. So sometimes they will have a beer that's very strong and bold and pair that with a very mild food so that you can really see the contrast. But that's not what I prefer to do. I like to see balance. I want to taste both, and I want to have them together and have them complement each other. So, for example, I brought some shrimp that has a citrusy lime marinade on it, and that goes really well with a white wine. In this case, I brought a Semillon Sauvignon Blanc blend, which is a Bordeaux-style blend. And I feel that it goes really well with those two kinds of grapes because they have a citrusy character to them in the wine. Likewise, I brought some light beer that has a very mild characteristic to it. And I thought that would pair well with the shrimp so that they, again, help each other taste good together and not, one of them doesn't overpower the other.
Yeah.
One of the things in beer that a lot of people know about is hops. And hops were originally used as a preservative, a natural preservative, along with the alcohol in the beer to keep it from spoiling when they would go trade for spices in India and that kind of thing. Well, hops can be very bitter. They can also smell very citrusy or piney, different kinds of characteristics. And the hops accomplish that by having two different kinds of acid in them. The alpha acid gives you flavor and bitterness on your tongue when you taste it. And the beta acid gives you the aroma when you pop open a beer. So typically the alpha acid hops or the bittering hops are added early in the boil, which is usually about 60 minutes, about an hour. And then the aroma hops are added towards the end of the boil so you don't boil away all that nice smell. Okay. And the higher the alpha acid concentration, the more bitter your beer becomes. It is measured or calculated in IBUs, International Bitterness Units.
Yeah.
So, for example, a Budweiser or a Miller Lite, that kind of thing, are very low in IBUs compared to an IPA.
Yeah.
IPA, India Pale Ale, is very bitter, and a lot of people like that because it's a strong character, has a strong flavor to it. And the IPAs were created over in Europe when they would go to India to trade for spices. They didn't drink the water because they polluted all the water in Europe. They dumped refuse in there, waste of all kinds, and they could not drink the water without getting sick. But by boiling the beer and adding hops to it, it pasteurized the beer, even though Louis Pasteur had never even been born yet.
You know,
they didn't know what pasteurization was, but they knew it made it safe to drink.
Yeah.
And then they knew by adding hops as a natural preservative, it would last the trip either on ship down around the tip of Africa to India or going horseback across country to India to get their spices.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. I'm personally an IPA fan. I really love it. But I've got friends that tell me they think it tastes like what they figure pine salt would be, you know, so I get it. It's too hoppy for them. It's too bitter.
Sure.
So I understand that. I'm not a personal fan of like the darks, the stouts, and people love them. Let's talk a little bit. Do you have some recommendations of some, you know, basic barbecue? You know, you've got your big three, poultry, pork, and beef. Do you have recommendations or that you would pair with these types of things? Or is it just, does it go on and on and on? Or can you truly pair it down? Pardon the pun.
Sure. I have my opinions. Everybody has their own preferences.
Yeah. Yeah.
But generally, the lighter the food flavor-wise, the lighter your beverage should be. An IPA, and I did bring a couple of different IPAs, three different IPAs along today, because it's such a bold flavor, I would pair it with something that has a sauce that has a similar quality. You talk about rubs and sauces all the time. And so if it's I brought a grapefruit IPA, for example. If that grapefruit characteristic, I thought, might go well with these shrimp because they're citrus. In that cilantro, yeah. Lime juice marinade. I would not try to pair a grapefruit IPA, though, with something really, really mild that, let's say, for example, cheesecake. You know, I wouldn't pair a beer with cheesecake.
Yeah.
I might pair a sweet wine, yeah, like Moscato or something, yeah, like that with cheesecake. But now, when you get into brisket, I did bring along some brisket from a local barbecue joint that I stopped at on the way over here. And I wanted to taste that brisket with you guys with a really dark beer, which is an IPA. It's a fairly strong IPA. It's not a stout, but it's one that I created myself. And last year was kind of a weird year. One of our suppliers had made a blend of three kinds of hops, Cluster, Fuggle, and Nugget. So I made a beer called Cluster Fugget, just as a tribute to 2020. And so,
we all agree with that sentiment.
The strong flavors of that, I think, will go well with the brisket. Primitivo and the red Zinfandel grape are very much alike. They both have the same family origins. The Zinfandel story is that Robert Mondavi was having trouble getting the Primitivo grapes to grow well in California soils. They brought them over from Europe and they were trying to grow them. And because of the problems getting them to grow properly and get the roots to go down deep into the California soil, he did some engineering at UC Davis. He created the viticultural program there and got the Primitivo grape engineered so that the roots would accommodate the soil. But then he made up a name for that grape called Zinfandel.
Oh.
It's just a made-up term.
Really?
But the nice thing about Zinfandel and barbecue, it's my favorite wine to have with barbecue meat of all kinds.
Okay.
The Zinfandel grape has a touch of residual sweetness to it that remains behind, even though it's considered a dry wine. And the Zinfandel character goes really well with smoked meat, with grilled steaks, with anything that has barbecue sauce on it, like your barbecue ribs would. And the Primitivo is very, very similar to that. And also the Zinfandel grape also goes really well with red sauce foods like spaghetti and meatballs, lasagna. That tanginess of the tomato sauce goes really well with the Zinfandel wine.
Interesting. Okay.
So I think the boldness of the brisket, it depending on what sauce you want to put on it. I like meat without much sauce, but a little bit on the side. I think the IPA would go well with a brisket or with a pulled pork.
Okay, interesting. And I want to reiterate, everyone, because I've preached for years that when it comes down to taste, there is no probably exact science, right? I mean, these things that Tim is recommending are not set in stone. We all have our tastes. We all like things. I've had people come in and use a rub for a meat that I would never have thought of doing in a million years, but they love it. And the same with pairing wood or smoke with meat. So you, I just heard you say, so Zinfandel, in your opinion, does go well with barbecue.
It's my favorite.
No matter whether it's pork, poultry, fish,
the
beef.
The smokiness of the meat goes really well with it.
All right.
Your brisket with the spicy bark is extremely good with a red Zinfandel. And it always puzzles me why these barbecue restaurants that we go to don't have Zinfandel on their menu. I don't understand it. They'll have, maybe it's because they're focused on beer instead of wine.
I think that's it right there.
It might be that people are more familiar with certain kinds of grape wine, like they're familiar with Pinot Noir or Merlot or Cabernet Sauvignon or Sauvignon Blanc or Pinot Grigio, but they're just not as familiar, I think, with the Zinfandel wine.
Okay,
And so they're aiming to please the most of their customers.
Sure.
And they're going to carry what people ask for.
Yeah. And it's a business. And I'm always, again, preach to my customers, don't try to make your backyard barbecue like the restaurant barbecue. Most likely, you're not going to be able to do it. They have access to equipment and things like that. Now, ironically, you can go into fermentations and try to make your, you know, favorite wine or beer there. So how about beer, Tim? Which one? You talked a little bit about it, but I don't know if I caught it. Do you have one that you pair with particular meats, or does that change? So you said Zinfandel, it sounded like covers the whole spectrum of barbecue.
I think so.
Okay. Is there one for beer, or does that change?
Well, with beer, like I was saying, I think the IPAs go well because you've got a strong flavored food and pair it with a strong flavored beer.
Yeah. But that's assuming that barbecue is strong. You know, like, I mean, you can grill chicken, and that's may not be that strong.
Okay. That's very true.
Okay, and, so you'd want to alter.
And again, that's about balance.
Yeah.
If you grill chicken, I don't know how smoky it would necessarily be. It might not be smoky
really.
At all.
No, not really.
Lemon pepper wings. I love lemon pepper wings with a Sauvignon Blanc wine. Okay. Likewise, I would like it with a citrusy IPA wine. I'm more of an IPA person.
Yeah.
My favorite beers used to be ambers and pale ales, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But I don't drink as much beer now as I did a long time ago. I'm more one or two beers, and I've had enough beer. I don't want to have any more.
Pretty filling, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll drink beer at a ball game or, you know, football game or something like that. We're fans of Broncos and all that. I like a little bit of beer, and I like it to complement the flavors and not have one overpower the other.
Yeah. One of the other things I want to mention here that Tim does, if it's okay, is and tell me your specific role with the American Wine Society. I know you basically run the local chapter here, as far as I understand. Is that safe to say? What is your role with that?
Yeah, I've been the chairperson for the Colorado Springs chapter since we started it. About 8 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
My wife and I joined American Wine Society thinking at the time, because there were three chapters up in the Denver area, we would go up there and have wine events and talk to people and learn about wine and enjoy wine.
So we've got just a little bit more time here, Tim. I want to kind of go back to because we talked a little generically about the pairings, but do you have any other comments on that you'd like to throw out to everyone when they're thinking, what should I try with my outdoor cooking or barbecue related?
I guess maybe I keep saying the same thing over and over again, but think about balance. Think about the flavors complementing each other and not having one overpower the other. I would not pair a strong IPA with a mild food, nor would I pair a mild beer with a strong flavored food.
Okay. So that's kind of the generic rule right there, is just simply, sounds to me like it, a lot of it's common sense, and it's the same way in the barbecue world with comparing tastes. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, however you want to look at it, you won't know if you like it until you try it. I mean, I think there's some things that as grown adults we know in our life that maybe we've heard how things taste and we may not like them, but for the most part, you have to try it before you like it. So,
yeah, there's an old saying, if in order to learn about wine, you have to drink wine.
Same thing with exactly.
Learn about barbecue, you got to make barbecue, you got to taste different kinds of beverages with it and see what you like. And that's a personal preference, really.
Well, Tim, thanks for coming in. Again, Tim and Brenda Christensen are the proud owners of Fermentations. They're located at 5765 North Academy Boulevard. Their phone number, they can answer any questions you have, is 719-598-1164. And lastly, the website is fermentations.biz, www.fermentations.biz. You know, check them out, guys. It's a lot of fun. It's a really cool store. So stop in there and just say hi. And Tim, thanks again for coming on the show. And thanks for bringing in the samples and everything that we had. We didn't do much of that during our talk, but we'll get into it here now.
Well, and a shameless plug for you. I appreciate the smoker that I got from you, the Camp Chef 24. I love that thing. Last Friday, I smoked 36 pounds of brisket.
Wow.
I put it, after I smoked it for about 8 hours, I put it in the pans and baked it at 170 overnight. And it was just so tender. And I had a cousin reunion in town
with
53 people, and they loved it. They thought it was delicious. So
that's great.
Thanks for teaching me how to be a smoker.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you not only being a friend, but a customer, loyal customer to the store. So thanks again, Tim. We really appreciate it. Thanks for listening today, folks. You're listening to Easy Does It Barbecue. And again, we call it Easy Does It Barbecue because we like to talk about the easiest ways to do it for you. Again, the show is sponsored by Colorado Barbecue Outfitters, located at 5921 North Academy Boulevard. You can find us online at 719bbq.com. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Easy Does It Barbecue, brought to you by Colorado Barbecue Outfitters, specializing in pellet grills, charcoal grills, electric smokers, sauces, rubs, and barbecue accessories. Online at 719bbq.com. See you next Saturday at 1 for Easy Does It Barbecue. And listen to the podcast on Podbean.